Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Mix and match 5 or more on Powerade, Campbell's Soup, Bar-S Franks, and more for 99 cents each with your card. Then get tender, fresh Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.29 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
All right, Greg Bell covers the Seahawks for the Tacoma News Tribune. Sports Radio KJR up in Seattle. 3-3 Seahawks, 4-2 Falcons out in Atlanta. Greg, thanks for making time. I mean, this kind of feels like a big game for the Hawks.
Well, yeah. Hi, Judah. Thanks for having me on. And when you're on a three-game losing streak, they're all big, right? No matter who you play, you got to end that. They've ruined all their 3-0 start against inferior competition. They went against Bo Nix, a rookie quarterback in his first start on their home field. They should win that. They went to New England with Jacoby Brissett, a quarterback who has proved to be just a fill-in. We knew it at the time, a fill-in waiting for Drake May to take over. And they had to go overtime to win that game. And then the Dolphins came out here without Tua at quarterback. Of course, he's out with the concussion. So a really ineffective Skylar Thompson was the quarterback in Seattle. So those are the first three games. So we don't truly know how good or maybe even how bad the Seahawks are. Their defense is a concern. It's why they hired Mike McDonald, especially to improve the run. They were 31st in the league against the run last year, 170-plus yards a game allowed. They allowed 228 to the 49ers last week, 176 to the Giants, 116 to the Lions. They're not going to beat the Falcons with Bijan Robinson and Algiers, and they're not going to be anybody until they shore that up. Mike McDonald's getting Byron Murphy back, the rookie first-round pick that missed the last three games for the hamstring injury. The last time he played, Judah, was the Dolphins game, which is the last game the Seahawks won. And then they traded for Roy Robertson Harris from Jacksonville this week, who is known as a run-stopping three-technique, double-gap type of guy, V and C gap around the offensive tackles. Having Murphy, the new trade, there's two assets to the run game defense that they haven't had the last 3 weeks. And they got to stop that first.
I also couldn't help but notice on the socials something that, you know, made me feel a type of way as a Seahawk fan, and that was Mike McDonald attending the basketball game. Of course, the Blazers were up there at Climate Pledge and taking on the Clippers, and Jody and Burt were up there, and saw John Schneider, and lo and behold, a run-in with Pete Carroll. I mean, what was that like to see float across the timeline?
Yeah, they haven't talked a lot since when Pete Carroll was fired in January. He just left. And they've seen each other in passing in the parking lot of the team facility. But other than that, Pete Carroll and Mike McDonald have really been two ships passing in the other continents. So when he saw McDonald, to hear him tell it, when he saw Pete Carroll couple seats away in the front row at Climate Pledge Arena for that Blazers-Clippers game Friday night, he went over and started talking to him. And it's really the first time he said he's had a long conversation with him. I don't get the impression Carroll's bitter. He wanted to stay. He tried to convince Jody Allen to keep him on, but he also wanted to keep his defensive assistants and his coaches intact to be loyal to them. And that's not the direction that John Schneider and the GM wanted to go. And Jody Allen and Burkhold chose John Schneider's direction, and then they hire Mike McDonald. And so Pete Carroll, if it had his way, he'd still be coaching in Seattle, but I don't get the impression he wants to coach anywhere else.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it was great to see Pete, but I was like, yeah, I don't know that it's all good vibes with him and the Seahawks, and nor should. I mean, that's the way these things go sometimes. Talking to Greg Bell, covers the Seahawks, Tacoma News Tribune, and KJR. Seahawks, Falcons coming up on Sunday. You mentioned getting back Byron Murphy. I'm excited about that, certainly, and Robertson Harris as well. Saw Rayshon Jenkins goes to IR at the safety spot. What do they do? What's the move at safety? And I guess, you know, a corollary of that, the Titans released Jamal Adams today. Now, I'm not pining for Jamal to come back to Seattle necessarily, Greg. But
Nobody is.
Did that catch your attention at all?
Well, I noticed it. The Seahawks noticed it, and they have a history, of course, with him. And John Schneider's still devoting a portion of his salary cap to Jamal Adams for this year. But I don't see that fitting. If they saw it fitting, it would have happened in the offseason. In the immediacy of losing Rayshon Jenkins at safety, he's played every down for them. He's been quite active in the box as a run defender. We saw him take bad angles in the San Francisco game, including on the 76-yard game-clinching run by the rookie Jurendo that really ended the game. But by and large, Rayshon Jenkins has played well for them and has done a lot. So it's asking a lot for someone to come in like a Kevon Wallace, who has been the third safety. He's banged up too, and he hasn't played as much or as well the last couple games. They really liked him in training camp and were using a lot of three safeties earlier in the season, but less so lately. I wouldn't be surprised if Kobe Bryant starts at that safety position with Julian Love on Sunday. Bryant's been getting more time lately as an extra safety in dime situations and six defensive backs when McDonald's gone to that. It'll be interesting to see how they play Atlanta as far as extra defensive backs, because I mentioned Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier, who's 5.5 yards per carry. They throw to Robinson quite a bit out of the backfield, and Kirk Cousins is hot passing the ball the last three games. Atlanta's really doing a dual attack. Seattle's got to honor both the run and the pass here. And much like a different style than San Francisco, but similar in that you can't key on one and expect to take one away. There are some teams that the Seahawks play, they can say, well, if we take the run game away, our pass rush will get after the quarterback. Maybe not with Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. So the run game is going to be really important. I would run if I was playing. I've watched every Seahawks game for like 15 years. I would run 40 times a game at the Seahawks until they prove they can stop it.
Yeah.
31st in the league last year. I mentioned the numbers they've given up recently on the ground. Until Mike McDonald gets the run fits better, his inside linebackers, Tyrell Dotson, Jerome Baker, to get off blocks, Byron Murphy comes back is going to help eat up double teams and keep some of those offensive linemen off the linebackers that they've been getting to second level routinely this season so far. But I'd expect Atlanta to come out with a full load of Bijan Robinson and Allgeier's on the run game Sunday.
That, you know, they'd be wise to do so. And look, I'm no football expert, but you know, I'm one of those guys that I try to watch the All-22 when it comes out and try to hear what other people are saying. I hear these light box, neutral box, you know, heavy box situations. I'm like, man. And at a certain point, Greg, you're hoping for average as a fan, it seems like. And you know, if they can be average in that run defense department, I feel like that would do the whole team a world of good.
It would also help the fact that they have only forced one turnover all year.
Right.
They're not going to go anywhere with the turnover margin that they have. And when the problem is they're not getting teams in third and long situations that force the quarterback to that face a pass rush and make decisions under duress. And the defense knows that you have to throw so they can pin their ears back and come after you off the edge. Very few times this year Seattle's defense has been in that situation. It's been more like 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 1 when it could run or pass and the whole playbook's open. And Seattle has not been able to generate pressure on the quarterback and force passers into uncomfortable spots to throw the ball. The results are what they are. And that has to change. And the stopping the run on the early downs to create 3rd and longs is really what that – when you say, how are you going to get the turnovers, that's what they need to do. They need to get other teams in turnover downs. 3rd and 1 is not a turnover down. 3rd and 11, 3rd and 9, when you get the pass rush going, that's when you can start getting after the quarterback and making them make bad decisions.
So we got this far without bringing up DK Metcalf and all his nice conversation with Ryan Grubb on the headset, his route running late that led to the interception. I know there's a lot to unpack out of that, and you've been covering it, you know, at the Tacoma News Tribune and on X as well. You know, where are we right now with DK, both in terms of his performance and everything that comes with him in terms of the energy and attitude he brings to the sideline in the field?
We're at Groundhog Day, Judah. I've been covering him for 6 years.
Yeah.
And when they lose, he does this. He gets mad. He vents his frustrations. I watched him get kicked out of a game in Green Bay when he swung at a Packer near the end of the game. That was in a 3-game, what became a 4-game losing streak. And when you ask him about this stuff, he says, I just want to win. And there is some validity to that. When they go stacking losses on top of losses is when this stuff happens. I can also tell you that he has outbursts a lot on the sidelines that I watch through my binoculars in the press box every week. the weekend before the Giants game, did the same thing to Frisman Jackson, the wide receiver coach, shooed him away, yelled at him, and walked away, stomped away. Jackson's chasing after him. Sideline cameras didn't catch that, so it didn't become a big story. But this is somewhat routine for him. And in Pete Carroll's world, Carroll was willing to put up with that. He's the one who traded up into the second round to get him, the physical freak that he is. And Mike McDonald has taken the same tack of not coddling, but trying to mold him into the system while living with the emotions that he has. Now, this week was somewhat different for Metcalf in that he was very upfront about owning the outburst with Grubb. So he said exactly what he said. He said he told Grubb he wanted to go past those defensive backs, the fill-in defensive backs the 49ers had. He said just run past them instead of these hooks and curls and out routes they were running early in the game. And he took ownership for the interception where he broke the route long and the quarterback undercut it. What's peculiar about that particular play, Judah, is that Geno Smith was in the pocket for 3.6 seconds. That's a long time in the NFL today, and it's a long time for Geno Smith to not get rid of the ball this season. 96% of throws in the NFL this season have been quicker than 3.6 seconds.
Yeah.
So Metcalf was expecting the pass way before he got it. It may not sound like 1 second's a lot, but when it's 2 and 3 seconds you get rid of the ball, the difference between 2 and 3 is often the difference between a completion of first down and a sack or an interception. And that's exactly what happened on that play. The longer that Smith held the ball, that's when the quarterback corner undercut it. That's when Metcalf improvised on his own. Smith didn't see or notice that and threw it to where it was planned to be rather than when Metcalf ran. If Smith threw that on time early, the corner doesn't undercut. Metcalf likely doesn't break off his route, and it's a completion for 15 yards over the middle.
Last thing for you, Greg, and thanks for your time. You know, they're coming off the mini bye week, as it were, with the Thursday night game last week. They've got a real bye week coming up in about 3 weeks. They've got road Atlanta, home Buffalo, and then taking on the LA Rams, and then hitting their bye. So it feels like this group of three games is, you know, kind of pivotal in terms of determining the shape of the season. I know it's a Mike McDonald homecoming of sorts, going back to his roots in Georgia and the Atlanta area. I just smile thinking about a couple of Huskies going at it in Ryan Grubb and Jimmy Lake. You got the Seahawks' own history in that building, right, with the playoffs and week one a few years ago with Russell going off. You know, what storyline, I guess, you know, grasps your eye the most going back to Atlanta at this point in the season?
Well, the bigger picture here, yeah, there are some of those, and McDonald kind of blew off the University of Georgia in Athens about 45 minutes from Atlanta. In that angle, I'd be really surprised if another Husky angle comes up and Michael Penix Jr. actually gets in the game
yeah.
for the first time in a regular season. That's going to happen either. But it's going to be a shootout to me. And this is when Geno Smith has been at his best, indoors, on the road, with a team in Atlanta that is the worst pass rush team in the league. No team gives quarterbacks time to throw more than they do, and no team gives up completion percentage at a higher rate than Atlanta does. I think Grubb's looking at this game plan and saying, yeah, I know we need to run the ball, and we do, but let's open it up and see if Atlanta can affect Geno Smith, because I think if we have Smith time to throw and they aren't getting a pass rush, I'll take Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Jackson Smith and Jigba against anybody, any secondary. So I think it's going to be a shootout. We may see Geno Smith at his best, which is 500 yards this season, and it'll be a question of whether Seattle's defense can hold down Kirk Cousins in the Atlanta running game. I think both teams are going to score 30 points.
I love it. Yeah, it feels like one of those Detroit road games or, you know,
right.
the New Orleans road game last
right.
year.
So, yeah. You just mentioned the four best games of Geno Smith's career.
Rubbing the hands together. It's a fun matchup and a good one and a big one all the way around. Greg, hey, thanks for making the time. Thanks for playing Hurt today. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
He's
thanks for putting up with it.
At G-Bell Seattle on X. And, you know, 6-0, number 22, Army. How about that, you know?
You waited till the very end to bring that up.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Should have led with that.
Yeah, beat Navy. I'm really looking forward to the Army-Navy game. I'll be at that D.C. this year, but, man, yeah.
That'll be awesome.
Since we've been in this position.
All right. Appreciate you, Greg. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, sir.
That is Greg Bell. Good stuff with him. Seahawks, Falcons. Coming up, we'll do the 5 at 5 leading up to Thursday Night Football at 5:15. Judah Newby, Stephen Vaughn in for Canzano on the Bald-Faced Truth.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Mix and match 5 or more on Powerade, Campbell's Soup, Bar-S Franks, and more for 99 cents each with your card. Then get tender, fresh Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.29 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.